Madagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome, friends, to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello and welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Tony Dennison is an Aboriginal evangelist who shares his unique perspective on life. This week, Tony is sharing a very interesting story with us. Interesting in the sense that Tony begins his story with a very frightening warning from God, who tells him there are plans to kill him.
I was working in the workshop and God spoke to me so clearly. He said, Tony, he said, these guys are going to kill you. They're going to try and kill you over the next 24 hours. And God showed me who they was. And I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do about it? I've always believed that Christians would turn the other cheek. They would not get involved in violence or try to defend themselves or anything like that. I'd been trying to get Bible studies in that place since I'd been there. And in the other prison that I was in, with no luck, no way in the world could you get prisoners to come. And why would they want to come and do a Bible study? I was abused, I was spat at, people spoke down at me, and they treated me worse than a dog because I turned the other cheek. I just didn't defend myself against what they called, the names they called me. And God said to me, go to the Bible, and I started to read where David went out and fought for God. And I was starting to get a bit of a glimmer of hope here, you know. I'm thinking, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you saying? So I went and asked the guard, could I have a phone call to a pastor friend of mine? And I explained the situation to him. And he said to me, Tony, if the Lord gives you the okay, you should defend yourself. And I said, okay, God. I went back to my cell that night and I cried out to God. I'm one person in a prison of 400. And I knew everybody hated me for talking to prison guards. And so that fear was still hanging around. That fear was there. Are they going to kill me? And the next day I was in the workshop and God said to me, he said, Tony, did you need to go and speak to this head guy that in these people that want to kill you? They tried to get me the night before, but I just walked straight past them. They had the perfect opportunity. It was dark. There was no lighting between the two wings. And they had the perfect opportunity to kill me. You know what? I walked through them. And the next day God said to me, you need to go and talk to this guy and you need to say to him, why is it do you want to kill me for talking to prison guards? Because I'm a Christian. When your mother is a Christian. I didn't know this bloke from Adam, but God did. And God knew that he respected his mother, and his mother was a Christian. And he said, mate, he said, well, I'm not going to try to kill you anymore, but I can't stop the others. You're on your own there. I can't help you. And I was going from one part of the prison to the other, and I was confronted by this man. And while I was talking to him, another man came from the side of me and he hit me in the face with a bottle, a plastic bottle full of water. The force was enough to break my jaw, but it didn't. And I turned around and out of instinct, because I've always been a fighter, I hit this guy and it broke his jaw. And he went down, he didn't fall down, he just went like he was poleaxed. He just went bang, hit the ground, blood was coming out of him everywhere. And I maintain to this day, God threw the shortest, best left hook I've ever thrown in my life. And I said, well, it's too late now, God. It's either all or nothing. And I said, God, well, it finishes here today. I know who they are, and I'm not going to stop until this is finished. So I went from around the prison, locating these fellas, tried to talk to them, but defended myself. The prison guards in the main office had a whiteboard. And they had on the whiteboard, Christians 1, Lions 0. The first body was decked out, sprawled out on the cement. Within 2 hours, the body count was 6. And the prison guards were all excited because it said, Christians 6, Lions 0. And you know what? That next night we had our Bible study in the prison. They'd been coming in for months and got no one to attend except me. That next night, the room held about 40 people and it was jam-packed, and there was 20 other people standing outside with the windows open listening to the Bible study.
I'm thinking about the choices I make. Do I listen to your voice, Lord? I go my own way. Will I have today? Or will I give you my life so you'll use me?
Sometimes when you're pushed into a corner and you got fear, I had to trust God because there was no other way. And because I did what I did, I defended myself. See, when you become a Christian, see, God doesn't change you from what you are. He uses what you are to his advantage. And because I was always a good fighter, because I was always a man of action, God used that. The body count was only 6. It could have been a lot more. But God got me to just defend myself. But that's all I had to do. And you know, as a result of that, by the time I got out of prison, there was 49 prison guards saved and become Christians, and 149 prisoners.
You are the one. There's no one else who lifts me up and gives me water from the well. But there's a hole that seems to drain it all away, and once again I'm left in fear and doubt when all my strength is crying out. So here I am again, until I know.
To reach beyond the pain
Sometimes we got to act when God calls us to act, but a lot of times we just got to be ourselves for God. God don't want you to be somebody else. He doesn't want Tony Dennison to be a Jimmy Swaggart. He doesn't want Tony Dennison to be the pastor of your local church. He wants Tony Dennison to be Tony Dennison for him, you know, and that's all I ever tried to do. And I just wanted to share this story with you because it was overcoming fear. Many times in that prison, my life was at risk. Even the prison guards wanted me dead because I started speaking out about drugs in the prison system, and they tried to murder me. In fact, they put a contract out on me. And you know, one day, the unthinkable happened. A prisoner was given a gun to shoot me in the prison. There was a very close Aboriginal friend of mine, and he was a Judas, because he led me into a cell, supposed to be for my protection, where there were six prisoners waiting to stab me, and he locked the door from behind me, and there was no way out. And when I was locked in there, the guy got up and he stabbed me. He stabbed me in the chest. It didn't penetrate very hard, but it was on for young and old, and the prison guards set it up with these prisoners. And after 5 minutes, they opened up the cell door, and they was open to find a body, my body. But when they opened the cell door, I was the only one that walked out. There were six bodies lying in the cell, not dead, but they weren't going anywhere in a hurry. I walked out, and I remember giving the knife to another prisoner, and it got passed along from prisoner to prisoner, and it disappeared into a toilet. Nobody cared that they tried to kill me. The prison guards just business as usual, and many times they tried to kill me. In fact, right at the end of my prison sentence, because they tried to kill me, I was removed from the prison and I was taken with another friend, and we was put in protective custody, and we was in a safe house outside of prison till they worked out what to do with us. And they transferred me to a minimum security prison. And while I was in this minimum security prison, it was so much easier to kill me because they gave me a job as a boundary rider. So I had to check all the forest fences and walk through the scrub and that. And I remember one day I heard shots, gunshots. And being a good black track and a black fella, I slipped away into the bush and I found myself back in camp. But it was always a fear, afraid, that every time I went out to do my job, that someone was waiting to kill you. I remember once a guard really ticked me off, and it was instinct. I had a tomahawk in my hand from a work gang I was on, and I picked it up and I threw it at him, and it went into the door. He just moved, and I tell you what, they couldn't get that thing out of the door, and he was so lucky, so was I, that I didn't kill him. But I still chased him across the yard and bellied him up because I was so ticked with this prison guard. He was such a racist. You know, I just was still walking with God. But sometimes things get the better of you. Sometimes, you know, we make mistakes. I shouldn't have threw the tomahawk at him. I should have went away and handed it over to God. But sometimes the pressure of living in a pressure cooker situation where every day you don't know it's going to be your last. Every day when you go to have a shower, you don't know whether someone's going to kill you while you're taking a shower. You don't know if somebody's going to kick the door in while you're on the toilet and throw hot water on you. And I've seen many of this stuff in prison. I've seen a lot of it over the years. And you know what? If I didn't trust God, I wouldn't. And the very last time, this is the very last thing I want to tell you, is that when they tried to kill me, a prison guard threatened me. And he said to me, he said, "You'll be dead within a week." And I was getting so worked up inside myself. I'm sick to death of people threatening to kill me and trying to kill me. I was getting so worked up, and God just shut me mouth. He zipped it up. And when this guy finished aerating me, he said to me, "You will be dead within a week." He said, "I guarantee it." And when God finally opened my mouth and unzipped it, I was surprised what came out of my mouth. I said to him, "You be careful what you plan to do to me, or what you say you're going to do to me, because I am the righteousness of God. Because whatever you try to do to me or plan to do to me, my God will do it to you first. So you be careful." And you know what? 2 days later, he dropped dead. He threatened to kill me. He said I'd be dead within a week. But my God gave him a warning when my God said to him, "You be careful what you do to me, because I am the righteousness of God. Not that I am righteous, but I'm made righteous for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I'm just a sinner, but I'm forgiven. I have God's grace in my life." And God says, "I am who I am." And because he is who he is, I am a king's kid. I'm the son of the Most High God.
Love so extreme, you carried the cross, blood spilled for me. You are the one who gave up your life to win love's
to you.
We've been talking about God's protection, and I was asked to preach at Bateman's Bay once, and we lived in Mount Druid. And you know, sometimes there you wake up with a really stiff neck, and you don't know if you've slept funny, and you can't turn your head for the whole day. Well, I don't believe I slept funny. I believed it was a spiritual attack, because I was getting ready to drive down to Bateman's Bay on a Friday, and I was going to be sharing in the mall, just preaching in the mall on the Saturday, and Sunday I was going to do two services, the morning and the evening service. And it's very hard to drive a Murray mover, which for you white fellas that don't understand what a Murray mover is, it's an 8-seater van. They call it a Murray mover because you can pack them in like sardines. So I'm in this Murray mover and I'm heading down to Goulburn. And I decided to go across from Goulburn, across to the coast. And I remember driving up this mountain, and there was a car coming down the mountain. And it was full of teenagers. And they had the music blaring, and they was coming too fast, and they actually hit the side of the mountain, on the not the open side, but the wall side. And because they was coming too fast, they actually launched into the air. And their car was coming straight through my windscreen. And there was nowhere for me to go on that mountain. I remember crying out to God. And you know, I watch a lot of football and that. And you see somebody catch a ball before it hits a spectator, like in baseball. You know, they jump up into the wall and they catch the ball. Well, I'm telling you, an angel caught this car in mid-flight and just put it down gently on the other side of the road, and it just kept going. As they went past, you can hear the loud music blaring and that. And I'm thinking, you know, the devil don't want me to come down here and preach. And anyway, when I got there, finally got there, it wasn't until I got out of the car at my destination and prayed that my head actually was able to turn. I could actually turn my head around and the pain was gone. And every time I get to a new place, I always like to spend time with God and feel the place out and just pray. And this pastor lived on a little block, and it backed onto a mountain. And I decided to go for a walk up the mountain and spend time with God and pray. And when I got to the top of that mountain, I hit an invisible brick wall, and I walked into an hornet's nest of demonic spirits. And I've been fortunate enough in my walk with God that I've seen angels, I believe I've seen the Lord, but I've seen a lot of demonic spirits. In the thick of things, in spiritual battles and spiritual warfare, you're often going to come across these things. And I just knew that where I was, it was an area that Satan worshippers and witchcraft used to meet there where I was. I just felt it from the Lord, and I knew that's where they met. It was a battle, and the Lord protected me the whole time I was there. And I remember I was staying with this family, and he had this didgeridoo. And he said to me, he said, "I want to get rid of this didgeridoo because," he said, "it just doesn't feel right in the house." But he said, "Can you tell me if a didgeridoo is of God or not?" He said, "There's a black fella, he plays an ill song every now and again, and he uses a didgeridoo." And I said, "What you got to understand about the Aboriginal Dreamtime is this. It depends who makes it. It depends who paints it. Some Aboriginals paint things and they paint it with a blessing. Other people paint it with a curse." And I said, "I'm going to pray over this didgeridoo." And I said, "If it's not of God, then he'll show me that we need to get rid of it." And yet when we prayed, the Lord showed us that it wasn't of him, that it needed to be gotten rid of. And without me, he didn't think to ask me what to do about it. He took this thing up to the cliff face because he lived on a headland. He went to throw his didgeridoo out over the cliff face down on the rocks. And when he threw it, a spirit grabbed a hold of him and tried to pull him off over the cliff. And anyway, I'd been walking up there to see what he was doing, and I arrived in the nick of time to grab a hold of him. And then I prayed and asked the spirit to let go, demanded that it let go. And I tell you what, you've got to be really careful when it comes to spiritual things, especially from other people's culture. 95% of the times, they come with demonic spirits.
God is trustworthy and will never let you fall. When we trust in him, he reminds us that 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. What a powerful promise from a trustworthy God. I'm Heidi, and this is King's Kids. Please join us next week to hear more from Tony Dennison as he continues with his wonderful story of God's faithfulness. Check out King's Kids online at kingskidsministries.org. Or if you want a copy of today's program, it can be downloaded on the website. If you want to talk directly to Tony, you can ring him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Thanks for listening and see you next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.